Hey, we got enough for a quorum.
Okay, we're bringing the meeting to order, the Public Safety and Security Policy and Finance Committee, and start out with the roll call. Please take your seats and calm quiet down.
Representative Cornish.
Here.
Representative Johnson.
Everybody quit talking, please, and sit down.
All right, go ahead.
Representative Johnson. Representative Wilstrom.
Here.
Representative Becker Finn.
Here.
Representative Considine.
Here.
Representative Dean.
Here.
Representative Frankie.
Here.
Representative Grossel.
Here.
Representative Howe. Representative Lomer. Representative Lucero.
Here.
Representative Neuberger.
Ready to serve.
Representative O'Neill.
Here.
Representative Pinto. Representative Ward. Representative Zerloss.
Okay, we entertain a motion to approve the minutes of March 21st.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Frankie moves the minutes for March 21st. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, members and those in the audience, today we're going to have our bill, House File 896, our omnibus bill, and we're going to do a walkthrough. The chair will move the, where are we going? So House File 896, the chair will offer the DE3 amendment. Did you get it in the like? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, members, how we're going to do this, we're not taking any public testimony today. What we're going to do is a walkthrough. First, our fiscal analyst, and will be followed by our Mr. Diebel for the language. And we can take some member questions after that. Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify, so then we'll be taking public testimony on Tuesday and amendments on Tuesday as well, and so amendments would be due by 10 o'clock on Monday. Is that your anticipation?
We haven't decided about the public testimony yet, but the amendments Tuesday, yes. If we take it, it'll probably be limited testimony. Okay, Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll be walking through the spreadsheet, and there are a couple of different versions floating around. They're essentially the same. What may be in members' packets or may have been produced for the audience may say the DE1 amendment on top. It should actually read DE3. There have also been a couple tallying formulas corrected in the tails column, but does not affect any numbers in the bill. So the House column should be the same in either version of the spreadsheet. I'd first like to make a couple general statements about dollars that were provided in the bill. The governor's budget had provided 1% and 1% for annual inflationary salary increases to all agencies, and then some additions were made to other agencies on a case-by-case basis depending on their needs and their request. The numbers in the spreadsheet and in this bill reflect the 1 and 1% for all agencies. Everyone is treated the same, but there are the additions that the governor had made in several areas were not included. Finance committees in the House were given the directive to pull out money for pension fund increases. The governor had made some suggestions to the Pension Commission on how to deal with ongoing shortfalls in state pensions, and those recommendations were reflected in agency budgets. House leadership has decided that those will be dealt with in the pension bill, so money for pensions will be dealt with elsewhere, but have been removed from the agencies in the bill to be dealt with in that other area. Requests by agencies to fund their health care cost increases for state employees were also included. So pensions were moved elsewhere. There is 1 and 1 for salaries and employee health care increases in all the agency budgets. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will start with the Supreme Court on page 1. In addition to those increases for health care and compensation, On line 12, there is funding for House File 1148. All peace officers serve a restraining order, and I believe this was for systems work for the courts to be able to implement the provisions in that bill. In civil legal services, on line 18, the governor's budget had included $1.9 million a year in an increase. The House budget, or House File 896, includes a $131,000 increase each year. That is a 1% increase on the agency's on civil legal services base. The Court of Appeals, outside of the increases for compensation and employee health care, there were no initiatives in that area. Moving on to district courts, again, the salary and health care increases, but in addition to that, there was a new judge unit provided. The district courts had asked for two new judge units. One was provided. That will fund a total of three FTEs instead of six. $100,000 a year was provided for treatment court sustainability, and House File 2051, seatbelt use for evidentiary purposes, was included. The fiscal note reflected the need for an additional judicial unit in conjunction with that bill. Moving down to line 51, the guardian ad litem, dollars were included for the 1% salary and the employee health care, but no other initiatives were funded. Mr. Chair, the same is true with the tax court. The additional maintenance of their new case management system was not provided, nor the dollars for rulemaking. The Uniform Laws Commission had no requests, so they received their base budget. That moves us to page 3. The Board of Judicial Standards had asked for secretary retirement payout. That was later rescinded and removed from the governor's budget, so nothing appears on that line. They requested $10,000 in the second year for employee salary and fringe. That was funded. The Public Defense Board, there was no funding for additional staffing. However, the salary and insurance costs were included. And on line 99, there is the staff positions included in the fiscal note for House File 1572, lifetime conditional release of certain sex offenders. Mr. Chair, sentencing guidelines received their request for salaries and insurance. In the Department of Public Safety, under Homeland Security and Emergency Management, on line 116, the governor had requested $20 million to add to the disaster contingency account. $2 million was granted. Mr. Chair, moving down to line 122, there was additional funding for House File 1802, supplemental nonprofit security grants at $75,000 per year. This is enough to fund one grant per year at the maximum allowable level, or multiple grants if they come in at a lower amount. On line 123, House File 1179 was Representative Neuberger bill for emergency response teams. The funding for those teams was set to expire. This continues the three teams, I believe, in St. Cloud, Duluth, and Moorhead at an even $184,000 each per year for 2 years. There are no tails for this request. They must go to the firefighter board in the future to ask to be included in ongoing funding. And Mr. Chair, that is from the fire safety account. The funds are taken. That is not general fund. Mr. Chair, moving to the next page, the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Again, basic increases for salary and health insurance. The money was provided on line 139 for a new predatory offender registry system. It is $4.1 million in this biennium and $400,000 a year ongoing after that for maintenance of the system. The request for an additional, firearms examiner was included. The governor had requested two. The drug monitoring analyst was not included. The additional personnel for the criminal history system maintenance staff was not included, but one additional drug chemistry staff was funded. On line 145, House File 1148, all peace officers allowed to serve restraining orders. Funding from that fiscal note was included on that line. Mr. Chair, moving down to the fire marshal, on line 155, the committee had heard a bill recently that was the recommendations of the fire board, and that included a request for $7,097,000 for the fire marshal. $800,000 had been removed from that request, which was to go for additional inspections of schools and expand to private schools. That was not included, bringing the result of the funding to $6.297 million per year. Of that amount that was reduced, $552,000 was given to the emergency response teams, which I just mentioned briefly, and the addition was then given, the balance of that was given to the Board of Firefighter Training. So on line 167, we have the Board of Firefighter Training. There's a line for increased firefighter training and education, their request for Task Force 1, and the Minnesota Rescue Team. Again, all these funds are from the fire safety account. Mr. Chair, moving to line 178 on page 5, gambling and alcohol enforcement. The Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement Division had requested two additional field agents, and to fund, on line 183, that should read one FTE, a gambling field educator that had been federally funded, and that money was set to expire. $90,000 is included to fund one of those three positions, and it is up to the Gambling and Enforcement Division, Alcohol Enforcement Division, to decide how they choose to spend it. Again, the amount for salary inflation and pensions is, or health insurance, excuse me, is included. Mr. Chair, on line 194, the Office of Justice Programs, the governor had recommended an additional $1 million a year for the Violent Crime Coordinating Council. They have a base of $3.5 million. 1% was granted on that base, so there is a $35,000 increase for the Violent Crime Coordinating Council. On line 201, the Pathways to Policing program is a new program. We'll get $500,000 per year in ongoing funding. On line 202, House File 2068, Terrorism Recruitment Prevention Grants, $250,000 the first year is included. There is no ongoing funding. Line 203, House File 1932, additional money for sex trafficking grants. There's $180,000 per year to be added to the $820,000 in ongoing money, bringing the total to $1 million a year for sex trafficking grants. The language is not specific to any county. It is just general money for additional competitive sex trafficking grants. On line 209, emergency communication networks, they had a small change in their request this year for salaries and insurance, and that was included. Mr. Chair, going to page 6, the Post Board, on line 234, there was an additional $100,000 a year from House File 261 for de-escalation training. The request for an outreach officer was not funded. The peace officer training assistance, there was $7 million a year added. That is from the general fund, and that is ongoing money with tails. In the private detective board, they initially had no request. The governor's supplemental recommendations, which came out a few days ago, added $2,000 the first year and $3,000 the second year for salaries and insurance. That was included in the House bill. Mr. Chair, the Department of Corrections, the money for the one-in-one salary and health insurance is included. The offender health care contract is funded in the first year. There is some language which Mr. Diebel will get into, but the department is to return next year to seek money for the second year and ongoing funding of any additions to their health care contract to provide health care for prison inmates. The full request for PREA, or the Prison Rape Elimination Act, and 12 FTEs at Red Wing was included. Requests for additional costs for food, utilities, lease space, as well as three FTEs for new people for to staff recently constructed capital bonding projects was not included. On line 262, expanding mental health services, the department had requested 23 additional FTEs. That request was funded at half of the original request. There was no funding for restrictive housing reform, 24-hour medical nursing services at additional facilities, or additional guards, or the request to provide extra technology funding to Minute to maintain their levels of technology services. On line 267, or beginning on 267, money was provided for the fiscal notes of three bills, House File 184, predatory offender registry penalties, on line 268, House File 470, tampering with a public safety motor vehicle, this is the bed impact, and House File 1572, the bed impact of lifetime conditional release. Mr. Chair, moving to page 7 in Community Services, on lines 282 through 234, the governor had requested additional funding for 10 probation agents at the Department of Corrections, as well as a similar increase or proportional increase to the CCA and the CPO formulas. The House funded 70% of those asks. On line 285, the House bill provides an additional $372,000 a year for outpatient sex offender treatment upon the release of some sex offenders. There was no additional money for technology or offender case management, but on line 288, there's additional funding for three bills. On line 2176, $55,000 a year. On line 288, House File 2176, Alternatives to Incarceration, there's $55,000 a year in ongoing money. On line 289, House File 2337, Targeted Domestic Violence Prevention, $100,000 a year to develop tools and curriculum, and the department should return for programming money in the future. On lines 290 and 291, Lifetime Conditional Release, the department received its full request for additional agents to implement the provisions of the bill for increased supervision of certain released offenders, and the full county portion of that bill for CCA counties for increased supervision was also provided. Under operations support, again, the department received its one-on-one for salaries and money for health insurance. There was no funding for technology. There is, on line 304, $208,000 the first year for House File 1510, and that is to transfer to the Department of Administration to do due diligence and have an appraisal done on the facility in Appleton. Mr. Chair, going to the last page, page 8, a couple other items of note. On line 323, there was the drug sentencing bill from last year. I believe that is Chapter 160, Laws of 2015. This reduced some drug sentencing and created a new community justice account that was to be funded with $461,000 as an ongoing base for this program. The money is captured in fiscal 2018 and 19 and spent in other places in the bill, but then the funding returns in 2020 and 2021. And Mr. Chair, on line 325, there's a $1 million transfer from 2018 and 2019 from the MinCor fund to the general fund. Those are dollars that are captured and spent elsewhere in this bill. On line 331, there is the $9.2 million is counted to fund the deficiency to the Department of Corrections healthcare contract in the current fiscal year. And Mr. Chair, also of note, on line 339, the House bill does not remove the sunset for the pipeline safety and rail assessment that the governor suggested be assessed to continue some programs within the Department of Public Safety. Mr. Chair, that concludes my walkthrough of the spreadsheet.
Any questions on the spreadsheet? Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this would be a question for Mr. Walsh. As I look at line 165, and I look at the totaling of the from 155 and 158 and 159, and I don't know if this is just something that I'm not understanding, but when we look at the governor's recommendation, it's $11,494,000 and then $588,000, which equals $12,082,000. And on what we're proposing in this budget, there's an additional $512,000 that doesn't appear to be calculated in. Can you explain why that doesn't seem to be additive in that number?
Mr. Chair, I mentioned at the beginning of my remarks that I was alerted by the Department of Public Safety that there were a couple totals formulas that will be corrected in future versions of the spreadsheet.
This is one of them?
And this is one of those. But the governor's request, or in the governor's column, those numbers are correct. The bill that was brought forward by the firefighters to provide $7,097,000, we removed $800,000 again for those school inspections. So $6,297,000 is the result of their appropriation. But these totals will change on future versions of the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to follow up on that, then, is there a subtraction that happens later on, or does that put the spreadsheet over the target?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, these are not affected by the target because these are firefighter training account dollars and not general fund dollars, and the budget resolution only refers to the general fund. In speaking with some representatives of the firefighters earlier, it's their request that if we reduce the fire marshal by $800,000 for those school inspections and apply additional monies to the ERT teams, the bill currently has that money pumped into firefighter training. Their request would be to take that out, let that fall to the bottom line, and let the board decide or arbitrate where those dollars would be spent in the future.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. To follow up then, so all of the formula changes that need to be made are in special revenue and not in the general fund, so there will be no general fund target issue.
Mr. Walsh.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, there is no target issue. The bill currently spends to the nickel its target money, and no future spreadsheets or any corrections to the spreadsheet that I'm aware of do not affect the target unless we were to reduce an appropriation for something.
Okay. Other members, let's move on to Mr. Diebel in the language.
Mr. Chair and members, Mr. Walls did a very thorough job of covering Article 1. The only provision I would like to discuss is on page 11. And it starts on line 26. It relates, it's a new rider related to offender health care, and it directs the commissioner to when the department is in need of a new contract to, in addition to requesting offer for services, to also go out and make sure that they have at least five providers identified and solicit bids from those to make sure that the process is competitive and that they are able to get the best deal possible on inmate care. And on page 12, it directs the commissioner to give a summary of that process and the bids in their next biennial report to the legislature after entering the contract. That's the only provision I wanted to cover in Article 1. I'd ask that you recognize Mr. Johnson to cover Articles 2 through 4.
No, go ahead. You're part of the...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and representatives, I'm going to start with Article 2 that begins on page 14 of the Delete All Amendment. Article 2 deals with the courts and contains provisions relating to the courts. Section 1 is from House File 2431, which was Chair Cornish's bill, which contained recommendations from the courts. Sections 2, 3, and 4 are from House File 1702, which was Representative Crush's bill relating to juvenile counsel. Section 5 is from House File 1773, which was from Representative Anderson's bill dealing with tax court jurisdiction. Sections 6, 7, and 8 are all from House File 2431 and are again from Chair Cornish's bill containing recommended updates from the courts. Section 9 is from House File 1165, which is from Representative Backer's bill relating to farmer eligibility for legal aid. Sections 10, 11, 12, and 13 are again from Chair Cornish's bill, House File 2431, which is the court's bill. Section 14 is from House File 1654, which is from Representative O'Neill's bill, which adds domestic assault by strangulation to the list of crimes that shift the burden for determining parenting time. Section 15 is from House File 1281, which is Representative Zerwas's bill dealing with prejudgment interest. Sections 16 and 17 are from House File 2431, again, Chair Cornish's court's bill. Section 18 is from House File 1654, again, from Representative O'Neill's bill dealing with domestic assault by strangulation and parenting time. Section 19 is from House File 1343, which is from Representative Zerwas's bill dealing with body camera transcripts. Section 20 is from House File 1806, which is Representative Lesh's bill, which extends the pilot project permitting the use of electronic monitoring in domestic abuse cases. Section 21 contains three repealers. The first is from House File 251, which is Representative Lunin's bill repealing the seatbelt gag rule. The other two are from House File 2431, Chair Cornish's court's bill. Moving on to Article 3. Article 3 contains policy provisions regulating corrections and probation. Section 1 of Article 3 is from House File 1452, which is Representative Lohmer's bill regarding claims for medical expenses that may be submitted to the Department of Correction. Section 2 is from House File 1510. That's Representative Miller's bill regarding the Appleton prison. This provision contains some new language which requires that the prison be staffed by Department of Corrections employees. Section 3 is from House File 2176. This is Representative O'Neill's bill regarding local options for certain probation violations. Section 4 is from House File 1579, which is Representative Grossel's bill regarding reimbursement to to counties for costs they incur transporting inmates. Section 5 is again from House File 2176, Representative O'Neill's bill regarding local options for certain probation violations. Section 6 is from House File 33. That's Representative Johnson's bill requiring legislative approval for changes to the sentencing guidelines. Sections 7, 8, and 9 are again from Representative O'Neill's bill, House File 2176, regarding local options for certain probation violations. Section 10 is from House File 2337. That's Representative Becker Finn's bill. The language here includes some modifications. The bill is modified to reflect some input from the Department of Corrections regarding a pilot program that they are currently operating. That ends Article 3. Moving to Article 4. Article 4 contains policy provisions related to the Department of Public Safety, driver's licenses, nonprofit security, peace officer training, and crime victims. Sections 1 and 2 are from House File 2119, Representative Erdahl's bill, which adds utility cooperatives to the list of entities that are eligible for state disaster assistance. Section 3 is from House File 916, Representative Hillstrom's bill requiring the sheriff to provide a drug disposal box. Sections 4, 5, and 6 are from House File 1670, which is part of Representative Zerwas's bill related to the driver diversion program. Sections 7 and 8 are from House File 1833. That's Representative Johnson's bill related to the public safety vehicle weight restrictions. Sections 9, 10, 11, and 12 are from House File 1670. Again, that's Representative Zerwas's bill related to the driver diversion program. Of note, the provisions from that bill do not include the section that allowed the criminal and traffic surcharge to be waived, and the portion that is included here removes any references to that possible waiver. Section 13 is from House File 1802. That's Representative Christensen's bill related to supplemental nonprofit security grants. Sections 14 through 19 are from House File 1148. That's Representative O'Neill's bill allowing all peace officers to serve harassment restraining orders and creating a short-form notification for harassment restraining orders. Moving on to Section 20. Section 20 is from House File 1159. That's from Chair Cornish's bill that creates a right for off-duty police officers to carry firearms in private establishments. Section 21 is from House File 346, Chair Cornish's bill regarding peace officer training. And Section 22 is from House File 1670. Again, this is Representative Zerwas's driver diversion bill. This is the portion that will extend the pilot program and allow it to transition into a full-time program. Mr. Chair, that ends the sections I am reviewing. If you would recognize Mr. Diebel to continue, please.
Mr. Diebel.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 5 contains general criminal provisions. Sections 1 through 4 of Article 5 are taken from Representative Zerwas's House File 839, and those relate to impersonating a peace officer in driving vehicles that are a facsimile of a public safety vehicle. Section 5 is Representative Heintzman's House File 192 related to driving after suspension and revocation. Section 6 is from Representative Cornish's House File 184, and it relates to requires predatory offender registration for stalking a minor. The other offense that was contained in that bill that would have required registration has been dropped. The Section 7 is also from Representative Zerwas, is impersonating a peace officer, Bill 839. Section 8 contains Representative Grossel's House File 1481, which modifies the offense of assaulting a firefighter and medical personnel. Section 9 is House File 1892 as amended by the Senate. This is Representative Howe's initiative to punish those who impersonate a service member, veteran, or public official. The modification in the Senate requires a proof that the impersonator has intended to wrongfully obtain money, property, or other tangible benefit because of his or her disguise or impersonation. Section 10 is another section from Representative Zerwas's House File 839 related to impersonating a peace officer, as is Section 11 relating to impersonating a security guard. Section 12 is a modification of Chair Cornish's House File 470 regarding tampering with public safety vehicles. Section 13 is Representative Lucero's House File 1601 related to trespass on a school bus. Section 14 contains Representative Clark's House File 1429 regarding geographic restrictions. Section 15 contains a modified version of Representative Frankie's Terrorism Bill, House File 1475. The significant changes are that the definition of act of terrorism has been modified and restricted. Section 16 is modification of Representative Zerwas's obstructing traffic or public nuisance law. It contains the Senate version of this bill. That's House File 390 and Senate File 676. Sections 17 and 18 are from Chair Cornish's House File 184, and they increase the penalty for intruding on someone's privacy and aggravated violations of the stalking offense. Section 19 is a second provision from Representative Zerwas's obstructing traffic on the freeways, as well as, and this one addresses the issue of obstructing transit operators, and that again is House File 390. Sections 20 through 25 are taken from Representative Lunin's House File 187, and they regulate the tampering with electronic terminals. Sections 26 and 27 contain the last two provisions from Representative Zerwas's impersonating an officer bill. And the final section of Article 5 is from Chair Cornish's House File 184, and it directs the Sentencing Guidelines Commission to increase the severity level of offenses that were modified in this article. Turning now to Article 6, entitled Criminal Sexual Conduct. This article contains Representative Grossel's House File 1572 as presented to the committee with one modification. In Section 4 of the Article 6, the language directs the courts to make phase of adjudication in criminal sexual conduct cases available to the public via their public website, so that they would be searchable and not just accessible at the courthouse. Article 7 is entitled DWI and contains Chair Cornish's House File 2364, which is the recommendations from the DWI Task Force. And conclude with Article 8, titled Controlled Substances. This is Representative Zerwas's House File 1875, which is the Board of Pharmacy's bill bringing the schedules in compliance with the board's schedules contained in rules.
And that concludes the overview of the Leadall Amendment, Mr. Chair.
Questions, members? Okay, members, questions? Where we proceed from here is markup and amendments on Tuesday. And the amendments will be due by 10:15 on Monday. Any questions, members? Representative Hilstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, given that we've had that discussion about what kinds of public testimony might be taken, will you be posting some directions so the public knows what you'll be permitting? I assume that, we know that there have been public hearings on all of the policy provisions that are in the bill, but some of them do have some modifications. But there has been no public testimony on the budget numbers, at least. So, Mr. Chair, I would ask that you be clear in that posting about what kinds of public testimony you might be willing to take so folks know.
Right. I agree. We know that people are going to be happy if they got more money and not happy if they didn't get what they wanted. So we don't have to have everybody come up and tell us that, but if there's something substantive to address or we feel is new. So you bet. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you just repeat the time of when amendments were due? I couldn't quite hear down at this end.
10:15 on Monday. Amendments due. Okay. With that, we will adjourn.